claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I'm going to cover the news, most important reports, and then open the show to callers, but it will probably be the a quarter or halfway into the second hour. Mitch McConnell ordering Americans to get vaxxed or he'll work with Democrats to shut down America again. This is as disgusting as it gets. Senator Mitch McConnell is ordering Americans to receive the dangerous and experimental COVID-19 vaccine under the threat it'll shut down public life in America with the Democrats if we do not comply. Frankly, I think Mitch McConnell has just completely discredited himself. I thought he was a very worthy custodian of the Senate, though I was upset when he did not support Trump when he was the president in relation to January 6th and the impeachment and all that. This seals it for me. Mitch McConnell is a disgusting human being and betrayal. A traitor to the nation, betraying the Constitution and the best interests of the American people. I am disgusted with Mitch McConnell. Damn you to hell. Meanwhile, in AP NORC poll, most unvaccinated Americans don't want the shots. So McConnell may want us to get the shot, but most Americans don't want it. They're unlikely to get it. Doubt it will work against the Delta variant, which I regard as a complete scam. Among American adults who have not received a vaccine, 35% they probably won't, 45% say they definitely will not, just 3% say they will get the shot, another 16 probably. What's more, 64% of unvaccinated Americans have little to no confidence the shots are effective against the variants, effective against a phantom virus. Despite evidence, they offer the strong protection. This is according to the poll, of course, who doesn't know better. 86% who have already been vaccinated have at least some confidence the vaccine will work. So here we have quite a dilemma with Mitch McConnell threatening to throw in with the Democrats against the American people. frankly, if he does this, I don't think his life will be worth a plugged nickel. We always knew some proportion of the population would be difficult to persuade, no matter what the data showed. A lot of people are beyond persuasion, said one of the experts, Dr. Amish Edsla, an infectious disease specialist at Johns Hopkins. Where I have a lot of concerns about the role of Hopkins in relation to government policies and so forth. He echoed CDC and Prevention Director Rochelle Walensky in calling the surge a pandemic of the unvaccinated, which is because nearly all hospital admissions and deaths have been among those who aren't immunized. Frankly, that's just disgustingly false. The fact is that this question about whether the vax is good or is bad is the key question. Nationally, this report claims 56.4% of all Americans, including children, have received at least one dose. White House officials said vaccinations are beginning to increase in some states where rates are lagging. I don't believe that for a second. Eric Clapton has courageously asserted he would cancel any shows if the venue requires attendees to prove they're vaccinated against COVID-19. Eric Clapton, good for you, Eric. Meanwhile, an MIT study shows that those who are hesitant about the vaccine are not idiots, they're not morons, they're not ignorant. On the contrary, highly informed, scientifically literate, and sophisticated. It's simply the way they read the situation from a cost-benefit point of view differently. If you put it in terms of a decision-making matrix, we have the state of nature, the pandemic real or fake, and vax good or vax bad. Consider the intersections if the vax is good and COVID is real. If the vax is good and COVID is real, then you're going to save yourself by taking the vax. If the vax is good, then even if the COVID, the pandemic is fake, you've merely undergone an inconvenience by taking a shot you didn't really need. Most people act in the belief that the vax is good, and therefore saving yourself versus an inconvenience is an easy choice, so they take the vax. But if the vax is bad, then if the COVID is real, you're going to bring about harm or death, and if the COVID is fake, you're going to bring about harm or death. So whether the COVID, the pandemic is real or fake, you're going to bring about harm or death. I believe, therefore, that those who are hesitant are paying more attention to the evidence because, for example, the Daily Exposé on July 15, 2021, official data shows twice as many people have died due to the COVID-19 vaccines in 6 months than people who have died of COVID-19 in 15. Here's another where we have a sworn affidavit. 45,000 dead from COVID-19 vaccines within 3 days, sparking a lawsuit against the federal government. Meanwhile, Senator Ron Johnson went on with Maria Bartiromo talking about what's going on with the data from Israel, which appears to have the highest percentage of its population, some 84% vaccinated. Get what? Ironically, what with about 84% vaccinated, the new cases of COVID are about 84% with a vaccinated individual. It certainly looks like the Pfizer is not working with the Delta variant, which is supposed to be causing all the mischief. I find it very, very troubling that such a massive percentage of the Israelis have been vaccinated, but it can serve as a pilot study. I have the impression we're getting more honest data from Israel than we are from our own CDC and NIH. Meanwhile, the COVID-19 vaccine program director has admitted the injection destroys our immune system, destroys our immune system. That appears to be exactly what's going on. Now, anyone, who has any doubt about all of this, go to my BitChute site, BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and watch a presentation by Dr. David Martin. It's about, maybe the fifth or sixth down now among the recently posted videos. Dr. David Martin, absolutely, completely brilliant, as straightforward as it gets. very, very telling. So if we return to the decision matrix, state of nature, pandemic real or fake versus vax is good versus vax is bad, you can see why those who are vaccine hesitant, skeptical about the vax, actually have the better of the argument because there's overwhelming evidence that the vax is bad. So that whether COVID is real or COVID is fake, you're going to bring about harm or death. And it appears because of the destruction of your immune system, it's going to take months or whatever until you encounter a next threat to your health that would effortlessly have been dismissed, you know, like water off a duck's back, had it not been for the immunization annihilation of your ability to defend off, that your immune system has been compromised. This is why most who take the vax don't have immediate response, even though 45,000 have died. Meanwhile, the White House says social media should be held accountable for COVID misinformation. Now, I published on the meaning of misinformation and on the meaning of disinformation long before all this broke out. Misinformation is simply false information. Disinformation is false information that is deliberately disseminated. So misinformation is false information. Disinformation is misinformation deliberately disseminated. But who's guilty of disseminating the false information? It is not those who are posting warning about the vax on the social media. Remember, I've just given you a half a dozen very serious reports. Twice as many people have died to the COVID-19 vaccines in 6 months than people who have died of COVID-19 in 15. Right, there's an argument not to get the vax. 45,000 dead from COVID-19 within 3 days. There's an argument not to get the vax. 84% of no COVID cases in Israel are with vaccinated individuals. That's an argument not to get the vax. COVID-19 vaccine program director admits injection destroys your immune system. My God, is that an argument not to get the vax? So who's publishing the false information? Who's deliberately putting out the misinformation? It's the White House, it's the CDC, it's NIH, it's WHO. This is part of a grand scheme to take control of the entire world through a massive depopulation program. No one paying attention to the evidence I've been reporting here, who may have verified it for themselves, I encourage you to do that, should be under any illusions that this vaccine is for our benefit. It manifestly is not. In another chilling statement, the White House said Tuesday social media companies should be held accountable for allowing Americans to post what it deems disinformation. Notice how they're taking sides on a factual scientific medical issue where they have no special competence. They're not in a position to know better. Leading experts have, in fact, been speaking out about it. During an interview with Mika Brzezinski, White House Communication Director Kate Bedingfield stated of misinformation on social media as though they knew which claims were and were not false. We're reviewing that, and certainly they should be held accountable. I think you've heard the president speak very aggressively about this. He understands this is an important piece of the ecosystem. It's really what Alex Jones talked about forever, InfoWars, information warfare, the battle for our minds, what we are supposed to believe. The comments came after the White House admitted to working directly with Facebook to flag so-called disinformation. Bedingfield also stated any action on policy should include amending the Communication Decency Act of Section 230 of the Act. And that means, of course, to use it against the social media giants because they're not conforming sufficiently to the White House propaganda line. I mean, Section 230 needs to be amended because it gave the social media giants immunity from liability. Ben Shapiro has astutely tweeted, the shift between disinformation and misinformation in the Democratic Party media White House propaganda play against social media is subtle but important. Sanctions began to surface between the White House and social media when Joe Biden said outlets such as Facebook were killing people by allowing what the Biden administration perceives falsely as misinformation on their platform. Because anyone warning you about the hazards here is speaking the truth, not the false. Monday, Biden appeared to walk back some of his comments, saying he was not satisfied social media was doing enough to curb the spread, but added, Facebook isn't killing people. These 12 people are out there giving misinformation. Any listening to it is getting hurt. It's killing people. It's bad information. Identifying those he has lined up. Josh Hawley tweeted, for days now, the Biden administration has said 12 people are guilty of spreading COVID misinformation on social media. Who compiled this list for them? The Center for Countering Digital Hate, a foreign dark money group, no doubt Israeli-based. So who is being targeted? According to a report from The Guardian out of the UK, a report from a nonprofit, non-governmental organization called the Center for Countering Digital Hate, and I have no doubt this is out of Israel, has put together a list of those they call the disinformation dozen. The CCDH claims these 12 have a combined social media following of roughly 59 million, I hope even more. On Facebook, they estimate they're responsible for 73% of all anti-vaccine content. So who are these disinformation dozen? Many are doctors or other types of health experts who have the courage to speak out and say the truth. The CCDH report obtained by The Guardian lists them as Joseph Mercola, absolutely brilliant and outspoken. Bobby Kennedy Jr., with his Children and Health Defense, he's absolutely sensational. Ty and Charlene Bollinger, I know less about them, but they have promoted the conspiracy theory that Bill Gates wants to inject the population with microchips, which of course is true. I have no doubt about it. Sherry Tenpenny, she's absolutely sensational. And of course, Sherry Tenpenny has observed that these mRNA vaccines are perfectly designed killing machines. Then we have Reza Islam, claims that his anti-vaccine posts are designed to spread vaccine hesitancy in the Black community. Well, it should. Blacks are distrustful of government. In this case, they ought to be hyper-distrustful. Rashid Buttar, absolutely brilliant guy. Some of his presentations are so passionate, so informative, so convincing. That's why, of course, they want to suppress him. Aaron Elizabeth works with Mercola. Sayer G runs an alternative health website. Kelly Brogan works with G, claims to practice holistic psychiatric. Christine Northrup, an OBGYN, no doubt worried about infertility, miscarriages, menstrual bleeding, double periods, the whole like, prepubescent girls having bleeding, postmenopausal women having bleeding. Ben Tapper, chiropractor. Kevin Jenkins, an anti-vaccine activist, claiming the vaccine is a conspiracy to wipe out Black people. Well, not just Black, Blacks and whites and browns, virtually all except, I dare say, the chosen people, which is part of why I'm very surprised that we have such a high vaccination rate in Israel. Meanwhile, Samantha America has tweeted, the disinformation dozen are heroes. There you have a list of excellent sources, excellent sources. They've given us a lead who you should listen to. But I reiterate, a wonderful presentation. Go to my blog, go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and watch that very powerful presentation by Dr. David Martin. Dr. David Martin, he lays out so clearly there'll be no misunderstanding. Meanwhile, President Biden breaks down in live TV town hall, half-empty audience. Watch Joe put in a rough performance. Another town hall last night featuring Joe Biden. Once again, it was a barn burner, but not in a good way. First off, it seems these stage events can't even get Democrats to attend. The place was not even half full. And I bet you anything, these were CNN employees who were filling the audience, just the first couple of rows. The audience is all seated in forward rows. Back of the auditorium is empty. Take a look at this scary display. There are videos up about it. What was Joe even talking about? Shouldn't we all be worried about his mental state? There are grandpas in nursing homes who are more coherent than this. Even when he was coherent, Americans didn't like what they heard from the Daily Wire. Biden. I'm the only guy that ever got passed legislation when I was a senator to make sure we eliminated assault weapons, Biden said. The idea you need a weapon that can have the ability to fire 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 shots from that weapon, whether it's a 9mm pistol or whether it's a rifle, is ridiculous. What does this guy know about weapons? I mean, this is all idiotic. And of course, even the AR-15 is not an assault weapon. It's not a weapon of war because it does not fire fully automatic. So it's simply a rifle. It's a lightweight, totally versatile. I fired it before, highly accurate, probably the single best all-purpose weapon you could ever have for home defense or for protecting your community from rioters or from biker gangs or defending the nation from tyrants or invasion of a foreign enemy. We need weapons like this. So the guy is, you know, off his rocker. He's making very stupid policy advancements, and no one who paid any attention to the Democrats' repeated ongoing policy to defund the police is going to be taken in with the idea they should give up their guns. So the article continues. Now he's going pretty much after all guns from law-abiding citizens. Here's his hard-to-believe spin on the economy. Meanwhile, another report. Elderly man struggling to maintain his faculties after disastrous town hall. That's one of the unkinder, at least blunter, takeaways social media had after Wednesday night's CNN presidential town hall in the Cincinnati area, where Biden pushed vaccination, his spending plans, gun control, and the impression this definitely wasn't the guy who should be leading the free world. Two clips in particular seem to sum up the general atmosphere of the night. In the first, Biden struggled when asked when vaccines would be available for children under 12, a criminal act if ever there were one. He replied, and the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are, why the experts say we know that this virus is, in fact, is going to be, or excuse me, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved. That's Biden. That's underway too, he said. I expect that to occur quickly. But how was that responsive to the question? In another, Biden began talking about vaccine hesitancy, end up babbling about men on the moon, and whether those aliens are here or not. For context, before the clip, Biden was addressing who you go to when you want the answer to a nagging question. Or, you know, this is Biden speaking, or the mom and dad, or the neighbor, or when you go to church, or when you're, now, I really mean it. There are trusted interlocutors, he said. Think of the people, if your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or you know, whether those aliens are here or not, you know. Who are the people they talk to beyond the kids who love talking about it? Commentary, yeah, sure, whatever. It wasn't an hour full of that, which was a shame. As a person who genuinely enjoys auto racing, I've never known what it's like to watch NASCAR for the crashes. Thanks to Joe Biden's town hall, I can now roughly grok the experience. A whole lot of tedium punctuated by a few glorious outbursts of smoke shrouds screeching and crunching of metal, because that's what you got with Biden. Meanwhile, majority of Americans shift from optimistic to pessimistic about the direction of the country. This is a mainstream poll. According to a new poll, the majority of Americans are pessimistic about the direction of the country at the 6-month mark of the Biden administration, a dramatic shift from the last time the survey polled respondents on the matter. A majority, 55% of the public, say they are pessimistic about the direction of the country, a marked change from the roughly one-third, 36%, who said the same in an ABC News Ipsos poll published on May 2nd. May 2nd, ABC News reported. In the early May survey, Americans were more optimistic than pessimistic by 28 percent point margin. Optimism is now underwater by 10 points. That's like a 38-point shift. Looking ahead to the next 12 months, fewer than half, 45%. Now report feeling optimistic about the way things are going, a significant drop from about two-thirds, 64% in the May poll. Other negative findings from the poll. Do you approve or disapprove of the way Joe Biden is handling immigration and the situation at the U.S.-Mexican border? 37% approve, 61% disapprove. Do you approve or disapprove of the way Joe Biden is handling gun violence? 37% approve, 61% disapprove. Do you approve or disapprove of the way Joe Biden is handling crime? 39% approve, 58% disapprove. Another mainstream poll, Gallup, released new numbers late last week that also showed Biden was headed in the wrong direction as he scored the lowest numbers yet of his presidency in what is widely recognized as a mainstream left-wing poll. Meanwhile, Obama's former doctor predicts Biden will resign in the near future, fears the president is a national security issue. This was a former Obama doctor. There's something serious going on with this man right now, he said. And I think that he's either going to resign or they're going to convince him to resign at some point for medical issues, or they're going to have to use the 25th Amendment to get rid of him right now, or Scott Bennett suggests they're going to stage an assassination and blame it on a Trump supporter, getting a double whammy and benefit. I'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I was reporting how Obama's former doctor predicts Biden will resign in the near future, or that the 25th Amendment will be invoked, or that, as my colleague Scott Bennett, who's a former Army Intel and PSYOPs officer, is anticipating, they're going to assassinate him and blame it on a Trump supporter. Now, the doctor, Ronnie Jackson, is now a representative, and it turns out he's a Republican, but I have no doubt that this is completely objective. Here we go. Last month, Representative Jackson and 13 other Republican lawmakers called for Biden to take a cognitive test, like the one he administered to Trump when he was in office. Jackson said, "Given the precedent set in President Biden's clear mental struggles, I believe it's past time he take a cognitive test." Trump took the Montreal cognitive assessment under Jackson in 2018, and at the time, Trump scored a perfect 30 out of 30 on the test, which assesses mild cognitive impairment or dementia. There's something seriously wrong going on with this man right now, Jackson said of Biden. And, you know, I think that he's either going to resign, they're going to convince him to resign for office at some point in the near future for medical issues, or they're going to have to use a 25th Amendment to get rid of this man right now. Jackson hypothesized that members of the Biden administration are asking themselves, "Can I take direction from this man right now?" Jackson predicted there's going to be some serious pushback from the White House and from the left to do something about what's going on with Biden. The former White House doctor stated, "It's a national security issue at this point. Our adversaries overseas, they are watching this closely. They are watching every single thing he does," Jackson said of Biden. He expressed fear that America's enemies are looking at what's going on in the Biden administration right now, thinking it's a perfect time to come after us, he concluded. We need somebody who will inspire confidence in the American people and inspire the right level of fear and pause in our adversaries, and we do not have that man in the White House right now. Stephen Miller, Trump's former senior policy advisor, was also a guest on Hannity and referred to Biden's performance during Wednesday's town hall event on CNN. Anybody watching that town hall last night, and as you mentioned, not many were, can see that his cognitive situation is deteriorating rather rapidly, which is deeply alarming to all Americans. Miller went on to question who's making the critical decisions in the White House. Who's making decisions about COVID? Who's making decisions about the border? Who's making decisions about Russia and the Nord Stream pipeline? Because clearly, it is not Joe Biden. Jackson posted a video of his Hannity appearance with a caption, "Something is seriously wrong with Biden, and it's only going to get worse. It's past the point of embarrassment. He's lost. He's confused. He can barely put a coherent sentence together. He must have a cognitive exam and release the results." Questioned about Biden's mental fitness resurfaced this week because of the president's effectiveness during the CNN town hall. At times during the town hall, Biden lost his train of thought, struggled to find the words he wanted to say, and made bizarre statements. Biden highlighted a conspiracy theory that the Democrats are sucking the blood of children. CNN fact-checked President Biden on numerous statements he made during the town hall and refuted many of the claims he asserted during the event. That was CNN fact-checking Biden, for which I commend them. Last month during the G7 in England, Biden suffered from multiple mental lapses and gaffes. Meanwhile, Twitter has gone full on Orwellian with a shocking ruling concerning a major Republican, one I admire greatly. Anyone with eyes to see, ears to hear, acknowledges big tech has it out for Republicans and conservatives. They are regularly censored, shadow banned, even expelled from social media platforms every single day. Far more than their left-wing counterparts. Frankly, I haven't heard of any left-wing counterparts being censored, shadow banned, or expelled. Twitter just went full-on Orwellian with this shocking ruling concerning a major prominent Republican. The radical left wants 100% solidarity in the messaging surrounding COVID-19 and the vax. So naturally, conservatives who express their concern with aspects of the vaccine, like over its experimental nature and how fast it was developed, are targets for the big tech leftists in the Silicon Valley, or just puppets for the fake news media. And members of Congress are no exception either. Recently, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Republican from Georgia, took to Twitter to simply point out that COVID-19 is not life-threatening and shouldn't be too much of a concern for anyone who isn't over the age of 65 or obese. But those facts don't play nice with the fear-mongering propaganda the left has been peddling regarding COVID-19. So Twitter suspended her account, CNN reports. The social media platform had labeled two tweets from Greene as misleading in recent days. If she continues to share misinformation about COVID-19 through her Twitter account, Greene could be suspended from the platform permanently. The temporary suspension comes as the White House has struck a confrontational posture with social media platforms over the prevalence of misleading claims about coronavirus vaccine as cases tick up nationwide. There are many cases of big tech bending their own rules to get away with censorship of anyone remotely conservative. However, this case of censorship stands out as there's absolutely nothing wrong with what Representative Greene tweeted. According to the CDC itself, the pride of our nation for the past 18 months, if you listen to the radical left, everyone under the age of 65 makes up just 20% of all COVID-19 deaths in the United States. Let's put that into perspective. The virus already has a survival rate of 99.8%, but of that 0.2%, anyone under the age of 65 are upwards of four times safer from experiencing life-threatening complication due to COVID-19 than those over 65. That doesn't even take into account the fact the age bracket 50 to 64 accounts for more than 75% of all deaths involving the coronavirus under the age of 65. Simply put, anyone under the age of 65 effectively has a survival rate so high, it may well be virtually 100%. And the younger you are, the safer you are from experiencing dangerous side effects from the virus. So why in God's name are they out to vaccinate children? It's absurd. It's a criminal act. That's all Marjorie Taylor Greene pointed out. There was not one iota of falsity in her tweet. But because that truth can't be twisted to support more lockdowns that will force more Americans to become dependent on the government to feed their families, Twitter didn't just take down the tweet. They suspended Representative Greene and told her never to speak the truth again. Despite Twitter and Facebook's best efforts, the truth is out on the coronavirus. Meanwhile, a federal court has ruled that the CDC's COVID-19 eviction moratorium is unlawful. This is actually something I thought was good by the CDC, but it's now been ruled unconstitutional. A federal court on Friday ruled that the CDC overstepped its authority by halting convictions during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Cincinnati-based U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously agreed with a lower court ruling that said CDC engaged in federal overreach with the eviction moratorium, which the agency has consistently extended for months. Several weeks ago, the CDC announced it would allow the policy, which was passed into law by Congress, to expire at the end of July. So this ruling is coming as the moratorium was about to expire anyhow. And since most rentals are on a monthly basis, it's not going to make any difference to the benefits it's provided in the past. The court stated, "It's not our job as judges to make legislative rules that favor one side or another, but nor should it be the job of bureaucrats embedded in the executive branch. While landlords and tenants likely disagree on much, there's one thing both deserve, for their problems to be resolved by their elected representatives." A ruling upheld one handed down by U.S. District Judge Mark Norris, who in March blocked enforcement of the moratorium throughout western Tennessee. Under the moratorium, tenants who have lost income during the pandemic can declare under penalty of perjury that they made their best effort to pay rent on time. The CDC claimed the measure was necessary to prevent people from having to enter overcrowded conditions if they were evicted, which would, according to the agency, impact public health. As an aside, I'd say it keeps them from having to live on the street. Previously, the CDC lawyers argued in court filings that Congress authorized the eviction freeze as part of its COVID-19 relief legislation, while simultaneously asserting the moratorium was within its authority. Those arguments were rejected by the three-panel Court of Appeals on Friday. Meanwhile, the FDA has announced that the CDC's PCR test failed review and will have its emergency use authorization revoked. Remember, this is a test designed by Kerry Mullis, which he explained was not for diagnostic purposes. That's been abused for diagnostic purposes, where it has a rate function that is highly variable. And if you go at very higher rates, like 44, 45 cycles per second, you almost guarantee false positives. If you do it at a much lower rate, you'll tend not to, but where they can therefore control how many cases they're detecting by simply setting the cycles high or low, and then they can report an increase or a decrease, which I'm convinced is going on in Florida and other southern states. They're manipulating the outcome. The FDA has identified this as a class one recall, the more serious type of recall. Use of these devices may cause serious injuries or death. What I don't understand, therefore, is why it's not being immediately recalled. The CDC announced this week its PCR test has failed its full review and will have its emergency use authorization revoked. Labeling distributed with certain configuration of the test includes performance claims it did not accurately reflect the performance estimates observed during the clinical test. The performance characteristics have not been adequately established, presenting a risk of false results. The FDA goes on to explain the risks associated with false positives and negatives. False negatives may lead to delayed diagnosis or inappropriate treatment of SARS-CoV-2, which may cause patient harm, including serious illness and death. False positive results could lead to a delay in the correct diagnosis and the initiation of an appropriate treatment for the actual cause of patient illness, which could be another life-threatening disease that is not SARS-CoV-2. In April, the Inova Medical Group sent an urgent medical device recall letter to all affected device users. Do not use these tests to screen for or diagnose COVID-19, the letter states. In April? What about the whole year before that when they were being used everywhere? Either destroy the tests by placing them in the trash or return the tests using the FedEx label, return label included with a letter that we have sent. Meanwhile, what did CDC say? After December 31st, in other words, they're going to allow August, September, October, November, December. I mean, they're going to allow 6 more months of the use of this test, which turns out to be a bastard that's unreliable. CDC will withdraw the request to the U.S. FDA for emergency use authorization of the CDC novel coronavirus real-time PCR diagnostic panel, first introduced in February of 2020. So it was introduced in February 2020, and now it's July of 2021, and they're finally determining that it doesn't work, that it generates massive numbers of false positives. That's because that's what they wanted. CDC is providing this advance notice for clinical laboratories to have adequate time to select and implement one of the many FDA-authorized alternatives. The PCR test, known as the bedrock of COVID diagnosis testing around the world, has been exposed as just another scam in the ongoing COVID hoax. But you can bet the mainstream media will ignore this extremely important development. No doubt. Here's something I was astonished, but I suppose should not have been surprised to learn. Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, who's promoting the Great Reset, under which we're supposed to give up all of our property and all of our assets, and where they're telling us we will own nothing and be happier than we've ever been, is a Rothschild. Just absolutely unbelievable. The man is a Rothschild. His father, Fred Schwab, married Marianne Schwab Rothschild, and Quash was born in 1938, where Marianne is the offspring of Louis Rothschild and Marianne Rothschild, where Louis is the offspring of Moretz Rothschild and Emma Rothschild. I mean, this is incredible, but explains a lot. Meanwhile, David Zublik has published on his Dark Outpost website photographs of two versions of Tony the Rat Fauci. One appears to be the real Anthony Fauci. He has a very substantial nose. He has ears that are completely different and a skull of a different shape than Anthony, Tony the Rat, who has a much smaller nose and completely different ears. Remember, ears are as distinctive as fingerprints. So, surprise, surprise, not only did they replace Joe Biden with an actor, a fake Joe Biden, whose cognitive incompetence is on display, but they faked Anthony Fauci, no doubt, you know, which appears to be why many are concluding. In fact, I heard a report from Kerry Mullis talking about Anthony Fauci, saying he doesn't know anything about science, doesn't know anything about Mictron, electroscopy. He doesn't know anything about anything. He's completely incompetent. Kerry Mullis, who is a winner of a Nobel Prize. I mean, I'm telling you, Fauci is a complete fraud. And as I've repeated many times, he's going to go down as the greatest mass murderer of world history. Meanwhile, Ron DeSantis visited Israel. I have a photograph of him here at the Wailing Wall, published on Rents.com, wearing a skull cap. He returns, and what's he saying now? Coronavirus vaccines are saving lives, reducing mortality. He said the coronavirus vaccines are saving lives and reducing mortality. About a widespread push to have Americans get vaccinated, saying if they are vaccinated, your chances of becoming seriously ill are effectively zero. I believe this version of Ron DeSantis was subjected to brainwashing when he visited Israel. It happens to many who go there. They're not even aware. I believe it happens during the night that their brains are affected by very subtle psychotronic techniques. I've heard a great deal about this from one of my dearest friends who knows a very great deal about it. This explains to me what's going on here with DeSantis, who, of course, has been a champion against masks, against mandates, done a heroic job of running Florida. But now I'm very, very troubled by what we see here. During a visit to St. Petersburg, Florida, and listen to how many of the statements he's making here are false. If you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, the chance of you getting seriously ill or dying from COVID is effectively zero. False. If you look at the people who are being admitted to hospitals, over 95% of them are either not fully vaccinated or not vaccinated at all. False. These vaccines are saving lives. They are reducing mortality. False. These vaccines are saving lives. In his most direct effort to encourage people to get the vax, DeSantis said 95% of new COVID cases are those who are not vaccinated. But it's bullshit. It's not true. Speaking on the efficacy of the coronavirus vaccine, he pointed to mortality rates of the elderly and in nursing homes since a vaccine was introduced. Well, remember, I've been presenting to you actual bona fide data that contradicts what DeSantis is saying here. It's really fairly stunning. Official data shows twice as many people have died due to the COVID-19 vaccines in 6 months than people who have died of COVID-19 in 15 months, that 45,000 were dead from COVID-19 vaccines within 3 days, that the vaccine program director admits the injection destroys our immune system, and yet we got Ron DeSantis making these absurd claims. This is very, very bad. Very bad indeed. I'm troubled, massively troubled. He's going on to say, mortality in nursing homes since we rolled out the vaccine is down over 95% due to COVID. The mortality for elderly since we rolled out the vaccine is down nearly 90%. So we're proud in Florida we put seniors first because they are the most vulnerable. We have 85% of our seniors who are vaccinated. I mean, this is just terrible. Meanwhile, get this. The new Israeli prime minister says the unvaccinated endanger the country and will be segregated from society. Israel's prime minister, Naftali Bennett, declared unvaccinated citizens will be restricted from participating in society until they get the COVID shot. Gee, you think this was Germany in the 1930s, and we're talking about the Jews. Ask yourself, if the COVID shot protects you, and we got Ron DeSantis telling us that if you got the shot, your risk of being getting seriously ill dying is effectively zero, why is there any threat from those who have not got the shot? What is the threat that is supposed to be posed? There should be none if what we're being told about the vaccine is true. Here's the Israeli PM. There's a time and place when this discussion has to stop. Bennett said in a primetime address, science is clear, the vaccines work, they're effective, they're safe, none of which is the case. All those statements are false. 1 million Israelis are refusing to get vaccinated. They are endangering the entire population. They are endangering the other 8 million citizens in the country. But how can that be true if the vaccines work and are effective and are safe? Does he not understand he's contradicting himself? Here's a tweet from Camus. Prime Minister Bennett, dear citizens, those who refuse vaccines are endangering their health, those around them, and the freedom of every Israeli citizen. They are endangering our freedom to work, the freedom of our children to learn, and the freedom to hold celebrations. This is pretty bizarre. Vaccine refusers are endangering everyone else's health, the people around them, and the freedom of all Israelis. They're threatening our freedom to work, the freedom of our children to learn. Those who refuse vaccines hurt us all, because if all of us were vaccinated, we would all be able to maintain daily life. But if 1 million Israelis continue to not get vaccinated, this will oblige the 8 million others to shut themselves in their homes. Why? The vaccination worked. They're safe, according to you. Unvaccinated people, therefore, will be prohibited from participating in activities with over 100 people, including going to synagogue, unless they provide a negative COVID test at their own expense. The Corona Cabinet decided today that as of August 8th, those who refuse vaccines will not be able to go to the cinema, the theater, the synagogue, the amusement park, the soccer game, or any activity with over 100 people indoor or out unless they bring negative results from a COVID test at their expense. Meanwhile, spontaneous protests are taking place in Israel. Arrests and police violence. We do not consent. Israel rising, protesting today next to the PM's house. We will not comply. We do not consent. We fight for freedom. There are arrests and police violence. Check out the next tweets. Meanwhile, protective detail of France, all resign over COVID restrictions, will no longer protect President Macron. The Republican Guard, a security detail established to protect the president of France, have all resigned and will no longer protect President Macron. The mass resignation comes on the heels of his presidential decree requiring French citizens to have or use a sanitary passport, a vaccine certificate, or be denied access to stores, bars, and even denied voting. More when we return from this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. burn. You burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yes, I want to repeat that rather fascinating result coming out of France, where the protective detail of the president of France has all resigned over the COVID restrictions. The mass resignation comes on the heels of his presidential decree requiring French citizens to have and use a sanitary passport, that is a vaccine certificate, or be denied access to stores, bars, or even denied voting. Citizens are taking to the streets in almost every major city, literally battling with police over enforcement of these new presidential decrees. Mass media is mostly ignoring the civil uprising, reporting almost nothing as the country erupts in protest. The fighting is getting bloody fast. Let me add that we have other protests raging throughout Europe as lockdowns and vaccine mandates continue. This is from Sunday on Zero Hedge. Anti-lockdown protesters kick into high gear around the globe on Saturday, including irate Irish protesters seen in Dublin. Take off your effing mask. Just in. Massive anti-vaccine passport protests in London, in Trafalgar Square. Pissed off Parisians. A huge turnout in Paris today. Huge. Today, over 275 huge protests against vaccine passports were expected all over France and Italy with a map. Stunning number. We need such events to take place in the United States. Dozens were arrested and charged after crowds broke through barriers and clashed with officers. hurling bodies and anything they could get their hands on. The unmasked protesters marched from Sydney's Victoria Park to Town Hall. Newscom Australia estimated 15,000 took part in the march. Many chanted anti-lockdown slogans and held signs calling for freedom and the truth. Very good. Footage on social media showed thousands of demonstrators marching through Sydney's downtown area. There was a significant police presence, included mounted police and riot control officers, in response to what authorities said was an unauthorized protest. Here's a tweet. Americans, when you watch Australian cops bashing the crap out of Aussies for exercising the right to protest, I just want to remind you that Australians are completely disarmed. They don't have a Second Amendment. They cannot protect themselves. Let me point out, too, billionaires are taking to private islands as ordinary people are told they cannot travel. And it appears to be taking place on a fairly significant scale. I have no doubt about what's going on here. They know that all hell is going to break out in these communities as a consequence of the effects of these vaccinations, that people are going to be dying on a large scale, and they do not want to be around when it happens. They don't want the public to take their wrath out on them, even though along with Klaus Schwab, they undoubtedly were part and parcel of the planning. That's how they can now seek security on their private islands. I want to share with you in some detail a wonderful piece by William DeBerg on my blog, COVID, The Wrecking Ball, The Wrecking Ball to Scientific Integrity. This is extremely good. You can find it at jamesfetzer.org. I believe he's really exposed something taking place here that ought to profoundly disturb every one of us, every one of us. Here it is. William DeBerg. While huge swaths of the American public have lost faith in a host of prominent institutions, including the mainstream media, major political parties, politically biased nonprofit organizations, the FBI and other law enforcement agencies, and the judicial and electoral systems, most Americans have, at least until now, maintained faith in the integrity of our scientific establishment. But COVID-19 and the scientific malfeasance it has spawned may be the wrecking ball that tear down even that pillar of faith. The litany of scientific sins committed in the name of COVID-19 fear-mongering includes, but is not limited to, publishing false data in leading medical journals, publication of intentionally misleading articles, masking the laboratory origins of the SARS-2 coronavirus, and the subsequent deliberate withholding of evidence to the contrary, the smearing of lauded scientists who've questioned the severity of COVID-19 and/or the treatability of the disease, and the arrogance of medical authorities such as Robert Fauci, I think he there meant Anthony Fauci, that now validate criticism of him and the official narrative as anti-science. The end result of all this is not merely academic, for hundreds of thousands of lives may have been lost and children not been born due to the scientific malfeasance. And of course, in part, he's talking about the massive sterility, anti-fertility effects, where even women who seemingly have only been exposed to others who have been vaccinated but have not been vaccinated themselves have reported multiple periods. Prepubescent girls are bleeding. Postmenopausal women are bleeding. This is all outrageous, in addition to the miscarriages and the stillbirths that are taking place. One of the most egregious scientific acts was an article in Lancet in May of 2020, just as COVID-19 was ramping up, that argued that hydroxychloroquine, HCQ, was both ineffective and dangerous in treating COVID-19 symptoms. This contradicted the fact HCQ had been sold safely for decades to millions over the counter in many nations for anti-malarial and other purposes, and that leading virologists were already using it effectively to treat early COVID-19 symptoms. By the time the bogus study was retracted, its results had already been trumpeted by the mainstream media and by leading health officials in their attacks on HCQ. Despite later meta-analyses indicating some treatment efficacy in the early stages of COVID, the damage had already been inflicted. HCQ was pulled off the market in many nations and is still banned for treating COVID-19 in others, such as Australia. May I say, I was reporting at the time that physicians who had hundreds of patients were treating them with COVID-19 and getting 100% results, success, curing them. Where it turns out to be a wonder drug, as an article published in Virology, which is a journal of the National Institutes of Health, revealed that it'll cure it if you got it and prevent it if you don't. Fauci knew it, but he suppressed it. Equally damaging were the outrageous predictions of over 500,000 dead Brits and 2 million plus Americans due to COVID-19 by epidemiologist Neil Ferguson of Imperial College in London, who backpedaled his predictions after his conclusion led to the draconian lockdowns that have so greatly damaged Western society. By contrast, an important study disputing the official COVID-19 narrative, such as Breon's epidemiological one in the Johns Hopkins newsletter that questioned the lethality and accuracy of COVID-19 statistics, was retracted by the university in an unprecedented act of scientific censorship. I reported this at the time, where just as Ole Domegaard had directed me to mortality statistics in the European nations when the outbreak was supposed to be at its peak and there were no changes, what she reported was studies of different age groups showed no changes in the death rate in any of the groups, meant the pandemic was fake, a chimera, a phantom. And where it was supplemented and confirmed by the lack of increased sales of oxygen tanks necessary if many patients were being hospitalized and put on incubators, and no increase in IV drips and stands, which has also been complemented by the fact that the life insurance companies of America have not had to adjust their rates. Now, remember, for them, it makes a huge difference to their viability as a business if they get the mortality rates accurate, since what they're doing is insuring lives. If they get them wrong, it could even bankrupt the company or cause a tremendous drain on the resources. So they have to get it right. Well, no doubt they are getting it right, and they've made no change to their premiums for life expectancy in the era of the purported pandemic. Lancet later figured in another important repugnant scientific action, a publication of a letter signed by over 24 scientists condemning speculation that the Wuhan version of the SARS coronavirus might have been created in a laboratory. It was surreptitiously written by Peter Desak, the very scientist conducting the dangerous gain-of-function viral research banned in the United States, and who was attempting to create synthetically souped up versions of the coronavirus in Wuhan itself. It is now widely accepted that the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus was unnaturally cleaved at a furin site, but what is equally shocking is that many virologists knew this but refused to report it because they deemed it would support President Trump's statements on the origin of the virus. Yeah, right. What's the difference to American life in health and welfare? I mean, my God, you can't do anything that supports Trump, even when his statements are true. Look at this, the total politicalization of medicine and public health for the sake of politics, the Democratic Party. How disgusting. Some scientists have expressed regret at their actions, such as those behavioral scientists who collaborate with the British government to scare the public into accepting the COVID-19 lockdowns. But the hit to the credibility of the scientific research community had already been taken. Contrary to what much of the Western public believes, a large number of top medical professions have questioned the severity of COVID-19, the advisability of lockdowns and masks, the benefits of COVID-19 vaccinations and restrictions on drugs such as HCQ and ivermectin as treatments. Bear in mind, if you go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and just search on masks, you're going to find 6 or 8 studies that shows masks are not only useless in protecting, in part because they cannot filter out a virus so tiny, roughly, the comparison could be with that of a ping pong ball in relation to a hula hoop. A mask, it can only sort out particles the size of a hula hoop, obviously can't sort out particles the size of a ping pong ball. And many others, including from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, which is the leading professional medical scientific organization in America. Almost 60,000 medical practitioners and researchers have signed the Great Barrington Declaration, which rejects lockdowns en masse in favor of tried and true herd immunity. What we have done in the past is to isolate the sick. Only they deserve to be quarantined and take measures to protect the vulnerable. Here we did the opposite. We locked down those who were not sick and imposed upon them very dangerous techniques that were going to impose tremendous harm. Some medical experts who've challenged the COVID-19 orthodoxy include Didier Roth, the most well-funded virologist in Europe, Harvey Reich, a prominent epidemiologist from Yale, both of whom argued for the benefits of HCQ, Roger Hodgkinson, former president of the Alberta Society of Laboratory Physicians, head of a company producing the COVID PCR diagnostic test, John Ioannidis, a widely respected epidemiologist from Stanford, both of whom argued on the basis of multiple sources of evidence that COVID-19 is akin to the seasonal flu in terms of lethality. And let me mention, you know, the COVID seems to have cured the flu in the sense that we had 38 million reported cases of COVID last year. This, only 2,000 or so, where they simply relabeled nearly 37,998,000 cases of the flu as COVID to jack up the numbers. Kurt Witkowski, former professor of epidemiology at Rockefeller University, who questioned the value of lockdowns and masks and has personally refused to wear a mask or be locked down, and Robert Malone, inventor of the mRNA technique used in Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, Luc Montagnier, Nobel Prize winner to discover the HIV virus, and Michael Yeadon, a former top scientist and vice president of Pfizer, who warned of the dangers of the mRNA vaccines, particularly in terms of infertility. Luc Montagnier, as I previously reported, has stated categorically, everyone who gets the vax will be dead within 5 years. These prominent scientists and many others have been subjected to a litany of slanders and smears, including monikers such as witch doctors and pseudoscientists, removal from YouTube and other social media, misleading fact checkers, and attacks on Wikipedia sites in some cases. Some scientists have come to their defense, but even some of those who rallied in public defense of these individuals have been smeared. While most of the slander in the media comes from non-scientists, academic colleagues and medical associates have occasionally joined in, as in the case of Yale faculty condemnation of Risch for his HCQ stand. But what is most disturbing is the larger scientific community's deafening silence in defense of the scientists who oppose the official COVID-19 narrative. Even more insidious is the notion that anyone who disagrees with the official COVID-19 narrative and policies is somehow anti-science. This arrogant view has been promulgated by Anthony Fauci on several occasions. Yet the great founders of modern science, including Galileo, Descartes, and Newton, emphasize the need for skepticism and humility in scientific thought. Genuine scientists recognize that scientific orthodoxy is constantly being revised, that theories can never be proven, and scientific debate should never be silenced. Most of the renowned scientists being denigrated are not being done so because of faulty data. After all, who can deny the low lethality of COVID-19 when only one sailor out of 6,000 on the USS Roosevelt, presumably exposed to the coronavirus, died? Or that only 14 of over 3,700 mostly elderly passengers and crew on the Diamond Princess, a cruise ship, died, in both cases in confined spaces with minimal treatments available? These two examples represent to date the only controlled evidence of COVID-19 lethality. But there's additional solid evidence that I and Needies and others have marshaled to support the low mortality threat of COVID-19. Of course, the scientific pillar that COVID-19 smashed had already been slowly crumbling. Almost every scientific field is currently riddled with controversies and criticism. While outright fraud among scientists is officially less than 5%, more subtle dishonesty, misreporting of data, and deliberate overhyping may be greater than 50%. Failure to replicate results is a huge concern. For example, in a study specifically designed to test this issue, only 39 of 100 results in prominent psychology journals could be replicated, and the replication rate for other scientific fields may be even worse. The editors of two of the most widely respected medical journals, Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine, have even doubted the reliability of the results in their own journals. Failure has been an increasing part of modern science. Failure to prevent and or treat Alzheimer's disease, autism, obesity, heart disease, many cancers. Failure to let humans be past low Earth orbit, despite a half century after Apollo, which, as many of us know, of course, was a complete sham, a mass illusion itself. We did not go. Failure of fusion energy efforts, failure to develop other truly sustainable technologies to support billions of humans, and so on. Issues that plague modern science go beyond the biomedical and behavioral sciences and extend into climate research, paleontology, and even physics, the demise of which has inspired a whole genre of critical books. While many of the above scientific problems may have intractable elements, progress has been hindered for the same reasons listed below that leading anti-COVID-19 narrative scientists have been isolated by the mainstream community. The failure of most scientists to condemn the corrupt and defend the courageous in the COVID-19 debate is reminiscent of the silence fellow journalists in defense of Julian Assange. It has further precedent in the treatment of truther scientists like Stephen Jones, who countered the official narrative on the destruction of the World Trade Center on September 11th, and James Tracy, who questioned the official Sandy Hook shooting narrative, who were forced out of their universities with, in some cases, little outcry from fellow academics. What explains the failure of scientists to stand up to the scientific bullying and quackery? Part of it may be timidity. After all, who dares question the grand poobahs at NIH like Dr. Fauci, when to do so would almost certainly mean losing one's scientific funding? Part of it may be the herd mentality. With our present graduate and postgraduate training, with their long mentorships, failing to develop truly rebellious and revolutionary scientific thinkers. Part of it is the effect of big money spent on scientific research. Over $500 billion in the U.S. alone, mostly from industry with strings attached. And part of it may be that way too many scientists nowadays are simply dishonest, self-promoting, and agenda-driven, far beyond the few percent that are officially accused of fraud. Science and the search for truth are arguably the noblest of endeavors, as they are the basis for knowledge and morality. but science as it is practiced today is far from the ideal. And the travesty that has unfolded involving COVID-19 research has tarnished scientific credibility still further. Soon, modern science may merely represent one more fallen pillar of society in the eyes of the disillusioned American public. That's an extremely fine statement, in my opinion. And I encourage everyone not only to listen to this, but to read the version you can find on my blog. Meanwhile, 1% control the world, 4% are their puppets, 90% are asleep, 5% know and try to wake the 90%. The 1% use the 4% to prevent the 5% from waking up the 90%. And I'm pleased to see that Mitchell has found a further report on the situation confronting the French president. For the people of France, it says here, they covered the president's house with horseshit. I'm looking at a video. A huge truck is passing by, covering the house of the president of France with horseshit. Now, these are a great people. Remember, the French brought us the French Revolution, which was a populist uprising against an aristocracy, cared nothing for their well-being, cared nothing for their well-being. It's covering the president's house, Emmanuel Macron, with horseshit. Absolutely fascinating. I love it. Meanwhile, you're invited to call into the show, the number 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. I think the people of France are setting an inspiring example. I am very impressed, very impressed. I'm going to watch it again. This is a fabulous development. Listen. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Thank you, Mitchell. Again, I repeat, we'll take your calls now for the rest of the show. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. I love it, Mitchell. Thanks for sharing. Back after the break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listeners.
Hold on one second.
And now we return you to your host.
Mitchell, I gather we have a caller here from the 605 area code. Caller, just give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan, and I just wanted to say it's too bad they can't do that with Biden, Harris, and Pelosi's house and put horse shit up their house.
I know it. Isn't this magnificent? I absolutely love it. Americans need to find ways of expressing their anger to all this nonsense, and where we have, you know, the rich disappearing off to their private islands to get out of the way while the shit hits the fan here and around the world. It's truly outrageous. You got a bit of background noise there, but go ahead. Give us further thoughts.
This COVID thing's got to end. This is bullshit, man. Sorry I had to use my language, but it is. I'm tired of it. That's all I got to say.
Bullshit is exactly what it is. I'm in 100% agreement. And just outrageous. Yeah. Continue.
I'll let you go. I'll let other callers talk.
Okay, well, I'm glad you called in. You made a nice point. We should be able to do that to Biden and Harris. Mitchell, let me bring you
in. Amen. God bless.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling. Mitchell, please join the conversation. What you've heard today, how does it strike you?
Well, I'm trying to get my Skype to unmute here, Jim. I don't know if I'm on.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay. Well, anyway, you don't know what's going on because they violated the civil liberties of all of us. They violated, you know, the state constitutions. They overthrew the election. They essentially had a color revolution over the summer of 2020 with, you know, George Floyd and his overdosing on fentanyl. This has been, you know, the orchestrated collapse of America. If you look back, you know, since the destruction of Trump's presidency by the government, by the political system, by the bureaucrats, and they really, no one has been held accountable. And they keep right on going, covering for Hillary Clinton and Biden and the rest of the criminal class that has thrown in with the deep state. It's outrageous, totally outrageous.
Mitchell, I couldn't agree more. What are our options? What can the American people do about it, Mitchell? I mean, I think they should be raising hell with their representatives in Congress. I think that is very clear. Writing letters to their representatives, to their senators, even raising hell on a local basis with what's taking place in their school systems, which are grossly abusive too. So I'm very troubled by that. Do you have further thoughts? You yourself have run for office. You know politics pretty well. Tell us your thoughts.
Well, first you have to get past the gatekeepers, and those gatekeepers are the Republican and Democrat parties, and they essentially control the elections in every state. It really is like going up against a corporate store or the company store where they control everything. And the problem is access for third-party candidates, not only to the elections to get on the ballots, but to equal press and equal media. It's like you trying to speak with the media. It's like someone who is not on board with the media matrix view of reality. If you're not down with all that, you are cast as this conspiracy theorist, crazy outsider. When the truth is, you look at reality and you look through their false reality, you know, that they're trying to project. I mean, people have to have critical thinking when it comes to reading and watching and understanding media today. It's just because they use so many subjective terms and they don't really define facts. They suppose a lot of things. But and also in the chat room, Slim is mentioning about the Arizona audit and how a lot of that is breaking, and that they can't cover. I think they were hoping that they could wash everything down the road far enough that nobody would uncover what they've done. And we have. So there we are.
Yeah, I think that was all very appropriate. It's just outrageous how quickly all this has happened and how so much dependence was placed upon Fauci, this one guy who doesn't even appear to be the original Fauci. Were you shocked, as I was shocked, about this? The photographs of the guy who appears to be a completely different guy? I mean, it's just astonishing to me they would even substitute a fake Fauci. Though, you know, in retrospect, when you see the key role he's played, I mean, how many people in the government have to know these replacements have been made? I mean, this is not the real Joe Biden. This is not the real Anthony Fauci. This just tells us, I think, the degree of corruption of our government, which appears to be owned lock, stock, and barrel by the big bankers, by the World Economic Forum, by the Rothschilds. I mean, listen, Israel controls our mainstream media, as I have many times reported. Israel went all in for Joe Biden and against Donald Trump by both suppressing negative about Biden and promoting negative about Trump. It was outrageous abuse of the media as any I've experienced in my lifetime. I am just floored, just completely floored. Would you agree, Mitchell, that a lot of people have to know that this is totally fraudulent and not on the up and up? Almost everyone in a high-level position, I believe, has to know the score.
No, I don't think many do, Jim. I really think they have such a blind faith in the quote unquote the system and the reality that they live in, that they're like a person that is in an abusive relationship, and they can't see. They live with the abuse so long that it's a normal function of life. I really think that many people have such are so deep. One, they're so deeply invested in that reality, you know, to admit that they've been lied to essentially about half of the stuff that they've ever learned about in their life. Most people would never be able to accept that. I mean, here we have President Poopy Pants and, you know, wipe my butt. I mean, in what reality can, you know, can that even exist? You know, where people aren't questioning their own sanity.
Yeah, I know, because the average American is reacting in a far more rational way to the situation, especially a number who are resisting the facts. It's amazing how powerful the grip of the mainstream on, you know, those who really aren't used to doing research on political developments, who tend to assume the media is speaking the true and that our government is out to benefit us, who've never seen through the fake moon landing, who still think Lee Oswald shot JFK, who may continue to believe the 19 Islamic terrorists attacked us on 9/11. It's absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, a glass, remember, a glass can be half empty and half full at the same time, depending on your point of view. And today, that's why I say reading with a critical thought process is so important. And, you know, I can't believe there aren't computer programs out here that go in and to a mainstream article and actually highlight all those words, where you can see, you know, where they say maybe or could or should or possibly or, you know, someone said or something along those lines. Instead of providing, you know, facts, you know, today we're provided a story. And while that's nice, it's also subject to that, you know, age-old manipulation, you know, of a point of view. And that's, you know, that's why I have been saying for a number of years that, you know, this fourth estate, the media, that's supposed to hold government and institutions accountable, have actually become the fifth column, secretly, you know, unbeknownst to many people, working against the people and for the ones that are they're supposed to be holding accountable. And so, you know, we're in an information deficit and we're always playing catch up because, you know, it's like being in a robbery or in a convenience store robbery. You know, the bad guy, you know, always gets to pick, you know, the opportunity when he's going to pull his gun out and commit a crime. You know, we as, you know, as self-abiding citizens, you know, we don't think about that, but we have to understand that crook at any time can make that attack. What we do afterwards, you know, to defend ourselves if possible, is something else. But we have to understand that the media is major corporations, right? It's, you know, it's not the average small town media. My local newspaper serving Franklin County here in Virginia was bought by Berkshire Hathaway. So it's you know, it's part of a major conglomerate, essentially a chain now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are in that information war that Alex Jones talked about. And when nobody stood up for Alex Jones, you know, because what they did with Alex Jones was they and yourself, they used two different sets of laws really on the books to persecute the people they don't like. And then they use another set of laws that are supposed to apply equally to protect the ones that they don't like. But I wanted to ask you, did you see the ruling in New Mexico regarding the DUI, drunk driving, and that convenience stores could possibly be held accountable if somebody put gas in their car that was driving drunk?
Oh, for God's sake, that's absurd.
And that was from the state Supreme Court.
Mitchell, that's a ludicrous ruling.
I know, but you know, that's the logical bridge. If you want to sue, if you want to build case lawfare to attack the Second Amendment, you're going to have to create these transitional cases, I guess, to stretch the law to attack the Second Amendment and gun makers. I mean, that's the possibility of what I see going on, but it's absolutely absurd. Could, what about Walmart? They sell the oil for the car, wiper blades. I mean, it's just, you know, light bulbs. It's just crazy. Yeah.
That's just incredible, Mitchell. I just can't believe it. But you're right about the motivation. This is to go after, you know, gun makers, manufacturers, those who sell guns, because gun owners are not going to give up their weapons. There's no doubt about it. They are not. And you know, after the defund the police movement, I mean, how can anyone think that they could count on the police to come to their aid? I mean, it's not going to happen. And you have to be able to defend yourself. And it's increasingly getting bad and bad and bad, worse and worse and worse, in terms of the necessity to be able to defend yourself. I mean, I'm getting people who are even asking me for their advice, you know, about how to defend themselves, what they ought to do about it. And I'm willing to give my best opinion. But everyone needs to understand what's going on here. You must be able to defend yourself. And with potentially more lockdowns, there's going to be food shortages. I have no doubt, Mitchell, we're in the midst of a three-stage attack. The face masks were killing us slowly. The vaccine's killing us faster. But it's going to be starvation that's going to run up the biggest numbers here in terms of death. There are going to be so many dead, we aren't going to be able to bury them all. I mean, it's just stunning what's taking place. And I want to reiterate, there's that completely brilliant law talk. I won't call it a lecture. It's a talk by Dr. David Martin on my blog at BitChute. Channel Jim Fetzer. Everyone needs to watch this because he lays it out as clearly and concisely. I mean, the man has a gift for making complex issues clear and accessible. Absolutely sensational. I recommend it highly. Further thoughts you have, Mitchell? I get many reports, by the way, that Washington, D.C. is just a ghost land, that it's deserted, that the White House itself is empty. You're in a much closer proximity, but do you have anything to add to that discussion?
Well, my Skype's acting weird. I was trying to pull Scaredy Cat in, and I can't get her. Well, let's see. Right now, I believe it's was it down in Texas? They're having a big problem now with a fungus, drug-resistant fungus. Of course, you know, a lot of people don't realize it. Probably half of it's coming from people wearing masks. But yeah, we are in this, how should I say it? We're in a bubble. I don't know how in the hell we got here except step by step. And now, you know, there it's rinse, wash, rinse, and repeat, as, you know, they're using false flags, you know, as they did in Michigan with the entrapment of those six guys on the Whitmer kidnapping thing. And I just saw a video clip a little bit ago of on Twitter where people were Antifa was changing into or out of their mega gear, hiding alongside some trees. So it's how should I say it? You know, it was a total false flag. You know, when General Milley, the four-star kiss-ass, I guess he is, said that it was a Reichstag, he was right. Remember, it was the people in power that pulled the Reichstag to kill their, to essentially attack their enemies and make their enemies look bad, to cause violence against them and demonize them. That's what we saw with the 1-6 protesters. Actually, I am a 1-6 person. Yeah, 1st Battalion, 6th Marines. No, just kidding. But yeah, it is. It was a serious false flag. And, you know, clearly it was allowed to happen. And it was instigated. I mean, with the one Antifa guy, I can't think of his name right offhand. He was in there with a CNN crew.
John Sullivan.
Yeah. And the FBI says, oh, I can't find my dick in my pants. I mean, an Antifa guy that dressed up as a mega man. It's ludicrous. I mean, it's in your face. Lies.
Yes.
I mean,
so we can't bring Scaredy in. Of course, it's getting.
I'll try again. I'm going to try again. But my I'm still looking at dialing in the last caller for some reason. I don't know why. Let me see what.
No, I think they're hitting every outlet that deals with the news in an honest, open, truthful fashion. And not all news reports, obviously, are correct. So we do our best to sort them out and explain the difference between the real and the fake news. Scaredy, if you're there, go ahead, join the conversation. Oh, I'm sorry, you only have a few minutes left.
I'm Scaredy. Just ringing her in. I don't know.
Okay, I saw that. I thought maybe you already had her.
No, that's great. Both, thank you. Thank you to Mitch for trying, and you, Jim, also. So, you know the youthful acronym, SHTF? You know, the last F, the letter F, you know, in English, we also use PH. Like the wooden staff, STAFF, fabulous, fantastic, is a walking stick for a mountain man, and staff, STAPH, perfectly honest, is staphylococcus, a kind of a cold or fever. So the young people's, you know, pardon my French, shit hit the fan, and it's very, the universe is very poetic, joking, laughing sense of humor, because now we have to say the new version, which Mitch told us about today, SHTPH, So shit hit the fan now must be called shit hit the president's house. should I say something else?
Sure, please do. Yeah, please do, Scarity. I'm sorry we couldn't get you on earlier. Go for it.
No. Thanks again. Thanks. You're very gracious. The vax passport that Tel Aviv is implementing on all the people there in Palestine. I think it's also, you just mentioned, it's called the sanitary passport in France.
Yeah.
And the, maybe it's called the green passport in the United Nations. What this is doing is creating a VIP category, a really, really super chosen class of people, you know how we say the chosen people. And they are cruel to themselves. So, like, there was a whole ancient Iraqi Jew community which they bombed and killed to scare the Iraqi Jews, you know, to go over to steal Palestine land and made those Iraqi Jews homeless. So I think that they are not worried about how many actually themselves Jews die, the little Jews, because whoever survives, whose body is strong enough, they were just going to study, you know, the science of how their poison worked and perfect more weapons that way. But not only that, the survivors are now a new category of super class who can hop, skimp, and jump into every port. Passport used to be one king agreed with another king whose subjects, who were friendly, say, yeah, it's okay for your people to come into my kingdom or country, you know, we're traveling by ship into seaports. And now this passport, port after all, is the door or entryway. These people now can enter any country because they're writing the laws that way, while the actual people of those 200 countries all across our beautiful planet are going into, I mentioned that last time I called it HC, the letters HC, I feel are revealing to us home confinement and therefore depression, death, divorce, and after all, it's just going to be an easy pickings for the filthy rich.
Scary, I want to thank you for calling in. Yeah. Alas, sad to say, we've run out of time today, but I look forward to having you back. Perhaps Friday, we'll be back Wednesday with the event. Thank you all for listening. I wish that you were happy.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
We'll be right back. This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.